everybody.
Horse can have a strong influence on the weak mind.
Denial is the most predictable of all human responses.
Scales the mountain because he's not afraid of it.
We are getting aggravated.
Yes, we are.
There is no hunting like the hunting of a man. And those who have hunted armed men long enough and like it never really care for anything else thereafter.
It's pretty poetic. Did you come up with that all by yourself?
No, actually. That was Hemingway.
Neophyte, I'm simply trying to ascertain if this cowboy here is taking advantage of you.
University, it's time to move to the next level of thinking. And as always, we come in and give everybody a couple minutes to get themselves kind of situated. 347-838-8420, 347-838-8420. Press the number 1 if you have any thoughts in or comments. And I see that our speaker is here already. What's going on, Will? How's it going?
Hey, pretty good. Is it noisy where I'm at all?
No, you're good. You're good. We're going to play a little clip before we get started, but I wanted to... Everybody get situated. We have a clip to play, so you want me to do the clip now and then bring you in later on, because we're only going to give them about an hour?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, everybody. I have a little clip out here. We're going to play relative to the topic, actually, and we have Brother Sharif on as well. So for those of you who don't know, these two gentlemen are like credit assassins. They get on the credit, these third-party debt collectors. And they do things to help people and benefit people with their credit. So if you have any thoughts or comments, you're going to play this clip. I guess they'll both get a chance to scrutinize it, and then we'll get into the show. Let's not forget that in a couple of weeks, we're going to be bringing you a webinar. So anybody out there with credit issues, want to clean your credit report, get yourself situated, it'd be the perfect opportunity for you to come in. So just be on the lookout, so to speak, and we'll keep everybody posted. And if you have any thoughts and or questions, you can always go to gregdoss.com, and these two gentlemen will also give you their information as well. So without any further ado, here we go.
Two of the topics that I wanted to address are both the Fair Credit Reporting Act and the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. These are two very, very important consumer protection statutes that are out there. They allow for individuals to get relief from unfair, harassing conduct by debt collectors. And it's also a benefit with the Fair Credit Reporting Act to make sure that your credit report is accurate so that you're not paying more for things like car insurance, you're not paying more for interest rates on loans, credit cards, and things of that nature. The first thing that I did want to talk to or talk about today is the Fair Credit Reporting Act. The Fair Credit Reporting Act is a statute that is designed to provide remedies for credit report information that is incorrect or inaccurate. However, one of the most important things about the Fair Credit Reporting Act is that your damages under the Fair Credit Reporting Act don't accrue or don't start just because there's an inaccuracy on your credit report. Unfortunately, too many times people don't find out that there's something wrong with their credit report until they've gone to get that car loan or they've applied for insurance or they've done some of those things. The most important thing somebody can do is regularly check your credit report. And this isn't something, a privacy, shield or something of that nature. Actually looking at your credit report to make sure that the information there is being reported correctly. Things that we've seen in the past, reporting a payment that is late that was actually made on time. Now, that may not seem like a big deal, especially if it's just one payment and it's easily explained away. But one of the new guidelines for the HARP refinancing program is that you've been current on your payments. And so this one late month or one payment on your credit report that says you're 30 days late when you weren't can essentially disqualify you from receiving a home loan refinance that may save you thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in interest rates, given the new interest rates that are out there. So what should somebody do or what should somebody look for? Well, my suggestion is pull your credit report. You're entitled to one free credit report from each of the three credit reporting agencies once a year. Again, this is one of those areas that you have to be extremely careful about because unfortunately advertising and mass marketing out there has come up with catchy jingles and they've come up with all of these things to get you to come to their website to pull your credit report and then they want your credit card number or they want to charge you for your credit score. With regards to making sure your credit is accurate, the credit score is irrelevant. It's more important that it's accurate. So you want to go to a website or to the credit reporting agencies themselves and pull your credit report for free. There's no sense in paying for something that you're entitled to get for free. But the next thing to look at is accuracy. Are the accounts that are listed mine? Oftentimes we have a family member, maybe a parent, and the difference in our names is junior and senior, or we have the same first name and different middle name, or very similar names. And oftentimes, because at one point or another, you lived at the same address as that individual, that the credit reporting agencies have kind of lumped your information together. It's important to make sure that the accounts are your own. So the first thing that you want to do is highlight those. The second thing, as I mentioned just a little bit ago about the payments, you want to make sure that your payment history is correct. If you've been making payments on time, then you deserve to get credit for making those payments on time. If the payment history is inaccurate, if it has a payment that's missing, it's important to make sure that information is correct as well. And then the other thing that you want to look at is, are things on there that shouldn't be on there? We all go through tough times, especially in the recent recession, even though people don't like to use that word. But as we went through that, everybody went through tough times. And you know, there may have been a medical bill or a bill that slipped through the crack. Or oftentimes, I see people have a $35 bill to a medical provider that is on their credit and negatively affecting their credit. And they look at it and say, I don't even know what this is. I had insurance at the time, some of those things. So those are other things that you want to be looking out for when you're looking at that credit report. Once you've identified that there's either inaccurate or incorrect information on your credit report, then what do you do? Well, this is the preparation for ultimately, if things don't get corrected, having an avenue to redress the situation with the Fair Credit Reporting Act. Because the first step before a Fair Credit Reporting Act case can be brought, or actually before any damages even start to accrue, is that the debt must be disputed. Typically, I see a lot of dispute avenues online nowadays, especially the credit reporting agencies allow you to go to their websites and initiate disputes online. However, I believe the best practice is to do it in writing and to be as detailed as possible. You know, a lot of times I get the question, well, how do I fix my credit score? Or I went to this program and they said, well, dispute everything. And those are, you know, programs that are out there. It's not something that I advocate doing because what I'm doing is looking to right a wrong. I'm looking to help those individuals that have been hurt by the conduct of either the creditor or the credit reporting agency. And so I don't like just to do a generic object to everything. I like to be as specific as possible. Especially, you know, taking the example of the payment that they allege that you missed, but you know that you made on time. A good dispute here is putting it in writing. And either attaching a copy of the, you know, check and when it was written and when it cleared the bank account, or writing a brief description that says this check was written on, you know, this date, it cleared my account on this date, the payment was due on this date. The purpose of this is really twofold. One is ultimately, if we're looking to file a case and we can go to the creditor or the credit reporting agency and say, well, here's the dispute that was done, it makes it a little bit easier to pin down the exact account. But more importantly, one of the things that happens when you file your credit reporting dispute is that it puts a duty on the credit reporting agency and the creditor to do a reasonable inquiry. And unfortunately, the term reasonable inquiry is not defined in the statute, but it makes it much harder for a credit reporting agency or the creditor to say, well, we did an inquiry and the information's correct, when you provide them with the documentation of why they are wrong. You know, essentially, if they come back and say, well, no, we submitted it, we verified the information, everything's true, and you haven't provided them with any information, what they're going to do is they're going to go back and check their own records. They're just going to go back and check their records that generated the false report in the first place, and they're going to say, well, this is all the information that we had access to. We didn't have access to the individual's information. We didn't have any access to the individual's bank account, so how could we have investigated it any further? But when you provide them with that information that disputes it, you provide them with and again, one important caveat here is make sure you redact your actual bank account number. Don't give them the bank account number. Don't give them a copy of the check that has both your routing number and account number at the bottom. It's important to give them this information, though, so that they can't come back and say that. If they have hard dates and they have hard information in front of them, their reasonable inquiry, that standard comes up a notch. You know, they can't just go back and look at their own computer records. They can't just go back and say, oh, well, we checked our system and our system says this information is correct. it's going to raise that standard. Now, the next step or the next part of the credit reporting aspect and is damages. And you don't have a Fair Credit Reporting Act case until there's been some sort of damages. Those damages can run the gamut. Paying more money on your insurance policies, being denied for a car loan, being denied for anything that goes into it. One of the interesting things in the Fair Credit Reporting Act, it also talks about permissible uses for the credit reports, but more and more times employers are asking permission to look at your credit report to make hiring decisions. So those may be damages. If the employer says, well, we pulled your credit report and there's this information about you owe $100,000 on an account, and so we decided that we're not going to hire you, that may be damages in and of itself. One of the things that we see on a regular basis is that person that comes and says, well, I think I have damages or I got turned down, and how do I determine if my damages are related to this inaccuracy or not? It's a tough question. It's one of those things that, depending on the credit report, there may be numerous negative marks on their credit report or there may be few. Sometimes it's very simple. You know, in the case of a HARP refinance being denied because of late payments, we know which account to attach it to.
The force can have a strong influence on the weak mind.
Denial is the most predictable of all human responses.
Scales the mountain because he's not afraid of it.
We are getting aggravated.
Yes, we are.
There is no hunting like the hunting of a man. And those who have hunted armed men long enough and like it never really care for anything else thereafter.
It's pretty poetic. Did you come up with that all by yourself?
No, actually. That was Hemingway.
Neophyte, I'm simply trying to ascertain if this cowboy here is taking advantage of you.
What can you see here?
It's strange. The code is somehow different.
Encrypted?
Maybe.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Squid University. It's time to move to a higher level, or the next level of thinking. Now, Sharif, you made a mention about something I wanted to ask you, and I know, Will, you're on actually also. The information about your credit report affecting your insurance, what would be legitimate about that if you've never had an accident?
Say it again, Greg.
He made a mention, the guy made a mention about your credit affecting your insurance and even your job. I know that you sue everybody. You like to sue these credit companies. In fact, before you answer the question, tell everybody about who you are and what you do. But I'm asking you, what does your credit have to do with how much money you pay for insurance? I don't know where there's a correlation, but tell everybody who you are, what you do, and then I guess answer the question.
Yeah, Brother Sharif from Thor Radio Network. Your credit score is affected. You know, most insurance companies pull your credit report. That's a bunch of nonsense, to be honest, which is just another way to economically discriminate against you because your driving record has nothing to do with your credit report. They say they pull your credit report to see if you have any claims, which normally would not show up in the credit report. But we all know that the insurance scam it. Really, they're just leveraging money against your Social Security number. But it could affect what rate you get, what your premium is. Take a look at a bunch of things, see your addresses, see if you defaulted on car loans. You know, they're playing the game, the finance game, which they really shouldn't be involved with anyway. So, but, yeah, it can affect it. Your score can affect the premiums, as well as interest rates, denial of employment. You know, they see that you don't pay, you know, say you made application for a job at the bank. You see you don't pay your bills, they don't want you dealing with their customers because they feel that you might understand the fact that they don't pay their bills on time. So all those things, everything is used with the credit report. You can sue somebody, even an employer, when they pull your credit. They become subject to the Fair Credit Reporting Act. They got to let you know. When they pull the credit report, they have to get your express written permission. They also have to, if they decline you for a job, that's called an adverse action. They have to let you know what information was contained in the credit report that caused them to make that decision. And you can sue them for violations as well. So it's a lot of different areas that the Fair Credit Report will take you into.
Okay, I appreciate that. That's interesting information. I'm a little puzzled by what one thing has to do with the other. And you did answer the question about the sharing of information without necessarily the express written consent of whomever it is the information belongs to. That's, I guess, the privacy issue. I was reading, was it 5 U.S.C. 552? I've been reading it for the last week. And I was actually surprised to find out, and Will, if you're there, you can help me with this as well. I was actually surprised to find out what's not supposed to be going on in reference to your private information.
Yeah, can you hear me? Sure.
Yeah, we hear you pretty good.
Oh, go ahead. Sharif, were you going to say something on that first?
No, I was finished, buddy. You go ahead.
Okay. All right. These type of so-called professional people that try to kind of like, I call them soft peddling when you're talking about the credit reporting agencies. I like to go in and on them a little bit more direct than that. This guy, you know, he said some things about the Fair Credit Reporting Act and about us proving to the credit reporting agency what is and isn't ours. And the burden of proof, I want to explicitly say this to everybody, the burden of proof is not on you. The burden of proof is on them. And everything on that credit report is inaccurate. Everything from the positive to the negative, because the credit reporting agencies have not properly verified any of this information, and they have to verify this information prior to putting it on a report. So I would encourage people to dispute every negative item and the positives if they're affecting you as well on the credit report and put the burden of proof in their field. Let them do their job. Okay, that is their job. These are fictions. We are the flesh and the blood. Let's make these these entities work in the interest of us. Because if you get into this discussion on whether something is true or not, everything on that credit report in that case is true. I mean, for the most part, I tell people if it's not yours, then file a police report and then have it removed that away. But if the information is in fact yours, then you sit up here saying, well, I can't dispute it because it is mine. But the point is that the credit reporting agencies have violated your rights by putting the information on there without verifying it with you. They don't know if it's true or not. And then he kind of soft pedaled said, well, the credit reporting agency was unable to get some information. Well, then that's your fault. That's not my fault. Remove the information from my credit report so I can get on with my life. Okay? That's the first thing. The second thing is, I know he probably talked more about it, but some things that I think are important that he missed is one is that a promotional block should be put on everybody's credit report. Everybody and their grandmother should have a promotional block on the credit report because the credit reporting agencies are the biggest perpetrators of identity theft. So therefore, a promotional block, which the number, and I'll tell you once again, 888-567-8688. Everybody should have a promotional block on their credit report because you're going to stop the credit reporting agencies from marketing your information. They're making money off you. They're not giving you a percentage, and they're giving your information to anybody who asks. You don't know what type of people are receiving your information when the credit reporting agency is out there just throwing your credit information all out, and especially when it's inaccurate information. And all credit reports are inaccurate because the credit reporting agencies are not verifying any of this information. So a proactive stance, a proactive aggressive stance is what I'd rather take when I'm giving a presentation on the credit reporting agency. Okay, I'm not doing this soft peddling, trying to sound professional and articulate. Let's get down to the grassroots of this and say, listen, the credit reporting agencies are an extension of the Federal Reserve Banking System, which is another central bank, and they all work hand in hand to get to bilk you out of as much money as possible. Now, there was something mentioned about suing the credit reporting agency. Now, I've had discussion with Sharif on many occasions about this, and these guys are pretty hard to sue. Not that I discourage people from trying, like Sharif says, you know, and I agree that these people have deep, deep pockets and they can give you the runaround forever. So there's lower hanging fruit that we can go after, like the collection agency. He mentioned that the credit reports are, you can only get a free credit report once a year. That is true to a certain extent, but first of all, in Georgia, you can get a credit report twice a year, a free credit report. But you can also get a credit report, free credit report, if you've been turned. That's three categories. Let me see if I can remember all of them. If you've been turned down for credit at any time, as many times as possible, you can request a free credit report. So you go to a car dealership, you apply for a credit card, you go and apply for any lines or any credit, and you get turned down, you have get a free credit report. If you're unemployed, you get a free credit report. If you're receiving assistance, some type of welfare, which I don't promote, but if you are receiving any type of assistance, you're eligible for a free credit report. And there's a couple other areas I just can't remember exactly. I was writing this stuff down, so I'm trying to check it off as I go. Accuracy. Online disputes, I totally discourage online disputes. If you're going to do a dispute, please go use the Fair Credit Reporting Act. The online disputes are disputes that are coming from the credit reporting agency. They're telling you, hey, you can dispute me. Here's a few that you can use. Well, why don't they just tell you go to the Fair Credit Reporting Act and dispute all of that information using laws that have been created by Congress and are explicit and right to the point. And you can probably get a lot more satisfaction than those online disputes because, remember, though, it's the credit reporting agency telling you how to dispute the information on your report that they put there. You don't want them doing that. Burden proof, I already talked about that. And the score, you had mentioned, at the end of his thing, I think you either asked Sharif or about the score affecting insurance rates on automobiles, et cetera. Yep, just keep in mind, tell people a rule of thumb, just automatically assume that anytime somebody's pulling your credit score, if it's not up to par, then there's going to be severe consequences, turned down, higher rates, et cetera. So I try to encourage people to be proactive, get them credit reports up to par before you go out there in the market and try to participate in any type of commercial activity.
Okay.
I'll shut up for a while.
Okay. Now, Sharif, I want to ask you this question because we're trying to get everybody, you know, on board. Cause so many people are looking for housing and doing other things who are actually on the phone. I get plenty of emails about these things. And actually, you two are really popular. And by the way, Sharif, tell everybody how they can actually listen to your show weekly and even get the downloads and podcasts.
I can go to Thor Radio Network on Blog Talk. Just Google THOR Radio, and you will see our library of shows there.
Okay. Now, Sharif, who would you hold responsible for the information that may be contained on your credit report? Not just an agency, and it's one of my pet peeves right now really is there's a couple of them. One is the Department of Motor Vehicles, who we know is a private corporation, and they seem to be slinging around people's information and selling it for enormous profits. What we say through $65 million over a couple of years, made, and this is selling them at a penny a page. My question is because all that information is linked to your Social Security number, isn't there some individual that we should be holding responsible and not just saying, well, the agency? Because the agency just seems to be kind of like that little cloud, that little fake thing, like, you know, trying to blame Casper the Friendly Ghost for something. Or am I improper with that? Could you possibly sue the agency for selling out your information?
You're going to hold, well, I hold them all responsible because once you file a dispute with the credit reporting agency, the credit reporting agency as well as the credit furnisher, who would be the party who is furnishing that information to the credit reporting agency, has a dual responsibility to investigate or reinvestigate your dispute. Do they do that? Likely not. Okay, I'm going to say more times than not they don't. But there's a procedure for you doing that. You have to, like Will said, file the electronic complaint with the credit reporting agency and allow for the time for them to conduct an investigation, 30, 45 days usually, generally. And then you have to send notice after they have concluded the investigation. If it's not in your favor, then you have to send a communication in written form directly to the credit furnisher, the party who's reporting that information. And then that sets the stage for you, filing suit.
Okay. 347-838-8420, 347-838-8420. There are plenty of you students here. The professors are actually here, and they're willing to answer questions. And we'll say again that in most instances, the only dumb question is a question that you don't ask if you have any questions about your credit report. Otherwise, I guess we could definitely take the show and run with it ourselves. If you have any questions, don't forget to press number one in your queue. There's plenty of you that are here, so we can discuss these things. The electronic complaint, Sharif, is that as effective as, I guess, your more direct, or Will, your Wall's more direct approach to dealing with these people with the letters for validations and what have you? I mean, how effective is an electronic complaint to the very person who's mistreating you?
This is Will. When you say the electronic complaint, are you talking about the complaints online that I just talked about, or when you say electronic complaint?
Yes. Yeah, the ones that you're talking about online, the ones you file online.
Yeah, I would strongly encourage people to use, if you're going to go online, go to the Fair Credit Reporting Act and use the disputes from that as opposed to the disputes online. I mean, if you can't get to use the online disputes as a last resort, because the Fair Credit Reporting Act is a massive document, and the language is legal, and it's patterned or geared towards what the credit reporting agencies are looking to, and they will acknowledge. So the three or four that they give you online doesn't compare to the 96 pages of laws of the Fair Credit Reporting Act. So I'd encourage people to go there.
So the FDCPA has, are you saying the FDCPA would have more teeth, Will?
Okay, well, let's not get the two confused now. The FDCPA, that's the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. The Fair Credit Reporting Act is what I exclusively use for online disputes. The FDCPA would probably be more used from a Sharif perspective in suing for violation of practices that's been calling you after a certain amount of time, and you know, whatever grounds that Sharif is using to sue. But the Fair Credit Reporting Act is more specifically going after the credit reporting agencies for violating your rights as it pertains to those laws.
Okay. Now, okay, so Brother Sheree, and this is probably something that might get some people kind of interested. When it comes to damages, what kind of cap, if any, are on the damages, or can you outline the amounts for certain violations?
Well, you have statutory damages, and then you're going to have actual damages. You know, actual damages can vary, you know, and depending on which consumer law you're using. You have the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act and you have the Fair Credit Reporting Act. Both of them allow for significant damages. The Fair Credit Reporting Act allows for damages per month, per account, based on the debt collector or whoever is reporting the debt. So it's per month, per account, per bureau. So let's say you got a debt collector reporting on Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian the same debt but on three bureaus. So you would be entitled to punitive damages. Punitive damages is an amount to punish the behavior, and that would be times three bureaus for every month that they are reporting, and for if they got one or two account per account. So that's $1,000 per. So let's say you had a debt collector reporting all three bureaus, one account, then that would be $1,000 for Experian, $1,000 for Equifax, $1,000 for TransUnion for every month that they are reporting after you have submitted the dispute, okay, and they've come back and conducted their investigation. So that can be ongoing, you know, for months until you file suit. But then, and that's just statutory. Okay, statutory meaning the flat amount. Okay, so like you get a speeding ticket, and it's just like, okay, for 10 to 15 miles over, the speeding ticket is $250. It's a statutory amount, and that's what you're going to get from the Fair Credit Reporting Act. But then there are also, you know, damages, any actual damages. Let's say you weren't able to get a car loan. You apply for a $25,000 credit card, and if that collection wasn't on there, you would have been approved for that $25,000 credit card, and that's an actual damage. Let's say you weren't able to buy a house for $100,000 because, you know, Will couldn't get it off your credit, and you apply for that house, and you got a letter from the bank saying, hey, we can't give you the loan for $125,000 because you have derogatory credit, which is that collection. And you got $125,000 damage that debt collector was willfully or knowingly reporting that debt, and it was erroneous. The biggest thing I would tell you about the Fair Credit Reporting Act is that, you know, the Legal Society has been, you know, ruling along with the court's assistance in allowing debt collectors and creditors to do things that they're not supposed to do. The main thing I will say, and Will will probably agree, is that there's a difference in the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act and a debt collector and the Fair Credit Reporting Act for creditors. Fair Credit Reporting Act, of course, by its name alone, are for creditors and not for debt collectors. It only defines creditors. Well, debt collectors are not creditors, okay? So debt collectors subject to the FDCPA, Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, are not the same as creditors reporting to the credit reporting agency. Debt collectors have no business trying to be creditors and reporting to the credit report. They can collect the debt, which is different than your letter, say, hey, you owe this much you need to pay. They can even sue you if all the elements are there, they're within the statute of limitation, and they feel they have a good debt, they can sue you. But they're not creditors. They're just debt collectors. So that's one of the confusing things. And most of the time when you look into the Fair Credit Reporting Act, you'll see a lot of debt collectors in there that have no business being in there at all. Okay, so creditors, credit reports deals with accounts. Debt collectors deal with debts. Okay, the Fair Credit Reporting Act only names accounts. Accounts are not debt. Not all debts are accounts. So you got to know your stuff a little bit. On the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, you got $1,000 statutory damage. which you're going to get anyway, and then you're going to have actual damage. Actual damages for both FCRA, FDCPA, you know, are emotional distress, embarrassment, harassment, you know, and their strict liability mean that, you know, you really don't have a right to have to prove any of those damages. It's just assumed that, you know, if a debt collector did this, this is the type of damages that it would cause. So it kind of lessens the pleading standard for a consumer. Also, people got to understand you have a private right of action just in the FCRA in 1681 S2B. That's after they've done an investigation and after they came back and said the debt is good, you send the debt collector a notice directly to the furnisher, and they fail to reinvestigate to remove it, then you have a private right of action only in that instance. In the FDCPA for debt collectors, you have a private right of action, period, with no limitations. So actual damages can be substantial. I mean, Greg, you know, you got a lady, you know, I can show you cases where a lady, they were trying to collect the $800 debt, and the man got $125,000. I can show you a lady that they were trying to collect a $2,000 debt, and she got an $8 million actual damage just on the FDCPA and your state consumer protection law. So it could be substantial, depending on, you know, if you know what you're doing or you get the right attorney, if that's what the rate you want to go. But, yeah, I don't want to be too long-winded, but that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I don't know if a person can actually be long-winded when it comes to issues of money like that, especially that kind of money. Now, I think you may have touched on it, but I'm wondering, can a non-creditor be sued for, I don't know if they can even get on your report, but can they be sued as well? Let's say, like, maybe this might get some people's attention. Let's say like a child support debt, because a lot of those I think come across as being loans, and somehow they get onto your credit report. What would be a recourse or a redress, if any, for that kind of situation?
You talking to me or Will?
No, probably you, because you can sue them if you're more you. I don't think
child support is listed within one of the allowances in the Fair Credit Reporting Act. Now, that's something that, you know, you'll have to fight, and it has to be a movement of consumers, not attorneys, that'll have to move the court away from that, because we all know those are not really debts. They're not really verified. They tried to wrap that debt into some immunity bubble that really nobody has. I can show you cases where, you know, on a traffic ticket, you know, a case out of Washington, woman didn't pay a traffic ticket. It went on to a collection agency. The collection agency was trying to collect and saying that they were going to put out a warrant and all this kind of stuff. She sued under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act and won a good bit of money. And, you know, the court was like, look, even the government can be debt collectors. So you have cases like that that are out there. It all depends on who's collecting it. And if you get a traffic ticket, it's no different than a debt collector. It's a debt. I mean, so are you going to be treated that way if you sued? No, they're going to try to, you know, cloak the state, which is nothing but a corporation, into some immunity. But, yeah, you can go after anybody who is our debt collectors. The definition of a creditor is someone who creates a debt. And I'll even in that short description. Traffic tickets wouldn't, to me, be creditor-related. You didn't create a debt. You're either saying it's an obligation that I have, and because I broke some law, you're saying I have to pay a debt. It's only a debt. So you can treat it that way, but, you know, it's going to be an uphill battle. But anybody who reports to the credit bureau should be only a creditor, okay? Child support didn't give you any damn credit, you know, so... If that answers your question, I think you can, but it's all about where you do it and how you file it. And, you know, it's going to be an uphill battle because they make a lot of money with child support.
Okay. So then I guess from that perspective, the better thing to do is just to I guess, fight or dispute the legitimacy of the actual obligation. You mentioned that these traffic tickets, because those are also kind of interesting, because I've heard people tell me that traffic tickets are sometimes these tickets are turned over to collection agencies when they're not paid. So if it's turned over to a collection agency because it's not being paid and it's not being enforced, so to speak, by the state, then that would, I would guess, wouldn't that, in all practical senses, mean that they could also be sued from one side or the other, too, correct, Sharice?
If it goes to collection, it's you know, you really can hit them then. If it's coming from the court, you're going to have a little uphill battle. But, you know, they may, you know, leave it in a warrant status for a while, or they may just come right out and sell it to a debt collector, but have that debt collector try to act like they're an extension of the court, and that's where you'll catch them, you know, slipping, and you're able to sue them. So, yeah, everything goes to collection. I mean, you know, you have, you know, the IRS has, the Congress has a deal with some big debt collection company to collect taxes. They've been doing it for a few years. They collect taxes, but they're debt collectors. You understand what I mean? So it tells you right there that if they're doing that with taxes, they're doing it with traffic tickets, we should all know that, you know, we're just dealing with debts, you know. So they're all subject to the FDCPA. But the FDCPA tells you that, you know, a debt collector does not include a state, you know. But then you and I, Greg, know when you get into the smart-ass people like us, well, we say, well, what state are you talking about? Or you say the state that is subject to, you know, Clear Federal Trust versus the United States. Are you talking about that kind of state that's reduced itself to the status of a mere corporation? Then that's not a state in a governmental function. That's a state that is out there doing commerce and making money, and they suffer no higher capacity than any other citizen, or, excuse me, any other corporation, which your person is. So they don't have immunity in that sense, because they're down there making money. You know, they're selling tea and cookies and everything else, tickets, you know, that's commerce. So, you know, that's why I say people like us would do that lawsuit and be like, oh, this is not the state. But most people think the state is the government, okay?
Yeah.
But that's not true. The state's just damn corporations, private corporations, to be honest with you. So they could be sued like anything else. When they describe it in the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, they're giving you the presumption that, well, that's the government. You can't sue them. That's a bunch of bullshit. Yeah, so...
Pretty simply put, and if you're in the state of Florida, I think you might want to read 768.28 when it comes to issues of waivers of sovereign immunity. And I'm certain there's one in every state, and if not, just use Article 4 and use your full faith and credit, and then just go ahead and tax it. But again, I would definitely recommend you reading the Title 5 of the United States Code, especially as it relates to that information that's being passed along. I think there's quite a few things that Brother Sharice and can definitely help you, Susan, with, and definitely that Brother Will can help you clean up. 347-838-8420, 347-838-8420, 727-404, what's your name, where you're calling from? Welcome to Squid University. It's time to move to a higher level of thinking. What's going on?
All right. Now, how y'all doing, so Squid? What's up, Will? How you doing, Sharice?
What's up, brother?
Hey, everybody. He already touched on the point, but I was just going to, a debt collector is more like somebody who buys a marker, you know what I mean? You owe somebody $10, I give you $5 and let them owe me, or say they owe me. So that's the debt collector. The creditor is the person that actually gave you some credit or lent you some money. If that can help clear it up for anybody who don't quite get the difference, what Sharice was saying, between a debt collector and a creditor. And a lot of times people think, oh, I got to pay this second party person. Even if you pay them, they're not going to delete nothing off your credit because they didn't give you none. All they're going to do is put it on there that you paid them. So
well, actually, I'll go a step further than that. I mean, to be honest with you, the term debt collector is really kind of a broad term because you would assume that they bought a debt. But really, when you look into it, all they bought is some data. And that's what,
yes,
you know, I teach my people.
That's
data.
Why I said a marker.
It's not even
a
debt.
That's why I said a marker.
Exactly.
Like
so people already don't
say
a marker. A data just means,
they got some
paperwork.
Well, I put it a different way. Sharif owes Greg $10. Will knows that Sharif owed Greg $10. Sharif ain't saying nothing about it. And Will comes in and say, you got to pay me the $10. He just know the information of what went on. He just know the information. He just got the data, and he just saying that. Instead of you paying him, now you got to pay me.
Now, what was kind of interesting within your interchange is, are you telling me that if you do pay it off, it doesn't even have an act? They have no power to actually take it off your credit report?
No, listen, like, right. Say somebody buys some information from somebody and you pay them off, the original creditor is the one that can take it off your report or not. The person that bought that data, just paying them don't do you no good in the first place because you're paying them. They didn't issue no credit. The only thing they can put on there is paid as agreed. Somebody else don't even do you no good.
Yeah. And this is
why would you pay me if you owe somebody else? You never did no business with me, is what I'm basically saying. You know, if you owe Will $10, why would you pay me $10? Because I say Will said pay it to me. Why would you pay me? I didn't give you nothing. And I can't.
Yeah. Will come in? Cause I know he has some background.
Yeah.
Will's playing
or something. I want to just chime in on that. Just make sure the person can easily make a distinction between the debt collector and the creditor by looking at the credit report, too, because the credit report is going to indicate whether it's charged off or not. But I tell people that breathe a sigh of relief once you see an indicator of profit and loss write-off, or charge-off on the credit report or any verbiage thereof. Because once that is displayed, that means that the account is in excess of between 90 to 180 days old, and the creditor has been satisfied through what you call a charge off, tax write off, insurance, whatever you want to call it. So whenever that appears on the credit report, the first if you are contacted by any of these so-called debt collectors, then what I encourage people to issue is a validation of debt. And that will shut down that collector. 9 times out of 10, it shut down the collector. They won't contact you again because you're telling them, provide me with the original note. Show me that you are a creditor, because you're not a creditor. But if validation debt would definitely bring that to the surface, to the forefront. And then the only person that can take anything off the credit report is the credit reporting agency. So keep that in mind. It's not the creditor. The collector, debt collectors, or whatever. So don't let them ever tell you they're going to take them off your credit report unless you get that in writing from them. But the Fair Credit Reporting Act simply states that the credit reporting agency has that jurisdiction to put information on the credit report and to take it off as long as they're following the laws of the Fair Credit Reporting Act, in which we've established that they have it anyway.
Okay, well, that's pretty fair. 347-838-8420. 347-838-8420. We have about 5 minutes left. And if anybody does want to contact you, Will, or even coming through us, tell them how to contact you, Will, for your services. And appreciate that, brother UB.
Yeah. UB, what's up, baby?
What's up, Will?
All right, man. Yeah, UB came to Atlanta with me when I spoke to about 200 people up there a year or so ago. We lit it up, didn't we, UB?
Guarantee we did.
Yeah, we talked about credit.
If you ain't never seen Will in full action, y'all need to see it. It's quite a show.
Well, hey, let's not see him in full action. Let's hopefully keep him in professional capacity. You know, Will is known as the Mad Reverend because, you know, Will is so... He's so immaculately dressed, but the moment that hole in his face opens up, there's no telling what will come out, depending on how motivated he is. They say, man, Rev is mad. I said, who's the Rev? Come on, him? I might catch this wearing a suit. But no, as a source of great information, Will definitely is that. But if you go to see him, please don't expect there to be a governor on that mouth of his. But he'll tell you the information.
Right.
He'll keep it straight.
Oh Lord!
Now, before you go, Will, I think we have another caller. Hold on. Brother Jason out of Texas, I believe it is. What's going on, Jason?
No, Michigan.
Michigan, okay, my fault.
What's going on, Greg?
You all definitely can talk about credit because in Michigan, the state has taken over several cities, correct? Because of debt.
Right, right. Exactly.
Okay, but go ahead.
Inkster being one of them. My question was really, Sharif, he mentioned about the. These states not being, them being not being in their governmental capacity. And I know a lot, some people, can refer to a case as the Clearfield Doctrine. But with the Clearfield Doctrine, what goes on with that? Because it's in understanding that relationship between, you beautifully stated, how they're, they become debt collectors, but then they still try to wear that mask as the government. And, in the Clearfield Doctrine, it's saying it in a legal language, but how can we put that in terms where we can understand?
The scenario I give you is that your difference in the government and a governmental function will be defined in the Constitution as to what government is. And I'll give you the perfect example I can give you is Social Security. When you go to Social Security Administration, they don't charge you nothing. You get a new card, they don't charge you anything. You go to visit them, they don't charge you $20. They're not making a profit. They don't charge you a damn dime for nothing that they do. That's a governmental function, and that's a governmental agency. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. You file a report or complaint with them, they don't charge you anything. United States Justice Department, they don't charge you anything. That's a governmental function, and they don't charge you anything. When you're dealing with a traffic ticket, when you're dealing with court fines and court fees, that is a fee, all right? That is commerce. That is some profit-based corporation. So, although it is done in a courthouse, you understand that the court is a private corporation as well. So the government is not acting in that function as they would in child support. They're not. In a traffic ticket, they're not. They're doing commerce. Anything that has a cost, they're doing commerce. You go to sheriff's department, what they want $15 for your automobile crash. They're doing commerce. They're making a profit. So they're just mere corporations, and they have no immunity, and they're no different than McDonald's and Burger King. If they make a mistake or if they do something, then, they have to pay. If they're doing commerce, they also have to pay taxes, because they're doing business now. They're making money. Governments don't make money. Governments serve. So if any function of government is making money, then they've reduced themselves to a corporation, which can be sued and sue themselves. So that's what you're dealing with.
Even their titles sometimes, the names are different. Well, you have the sheriff's office and the office of sheriff, two different titles, and sometimes you may view them the same. I one of the times when I was actually arrested with this whole driving issue is looking at the placards. It stated that our agency, and I know that you find that interesting, Sharif, it says, well, our agency requires. I'm thinking, what do you mean your agency? So I'm inside of a building that you all are housing people in that's actually a business. And within that construct, if it'd be no different than if Will and Sharif grabbed me and took me to their house and stuck me somewhere and said, we'll let you out right here, and there's been no judicial process. At that point, they're liable for what happens in terms of damages, and I probably may stir some feathers when I say this, and because I'm not an attorney, don't practice law, I'm on the license to practice law, what I do is study it and tell you what I've learned and how I gather the information. So we're not giving information as advice to apply to your case, but it's general information regarding law, which does belong to the people, so just use it for educational purposes only. so it's not construed to be legal advice. If you want that, just seek an attorney to be legally advised. But you probably won't have attorneys in business, Will, or Sharif, I should say, if they took that approach and said, you know, you're a business. You can't just be grabbing people off the street because they didn't pay you. That's not racketeering and extortion.
That's what they're doing. They snatching you off the street, you know, doing debt collection by the side of the road. I mean, that's what they're doing. And they disguise it well.
And under the auspice, and under the auspice of legal authority, when at the time that they're doing it, they're not, legal authority, lawful authority, but at the time there's nothing lawful that they're actually doing. They're doing it maybe legally, and even that would be arguable, considering that within the parameters of the definitions of what may be construed to be a crime or considered criminal, it doesn't fall into those categories. But again, that law would be upon the individual. There you go. And that's 18 U.S.C. 241 and 242. And you can, there's 100,000 different places to find that information, not particularly on this show, but we can definitely discuss it on maybe another show at some other time. And these things are definitely not hidden from anybody. And you can always challenge things, and not necessarily with a 5.1, but if you're in Florida, you might want to look at Chapter 86 to figure that out, or maybe 1.070 for rules of civil procedure to challenge certain statutory functions when they come after you, because those things don't give the courts the discretion to just summarily dismiss your action as it would be in a 5.1 challenge. 347-838-8420, 347-838-8420. I'm sorry, Brother Will, to have cut you off. Will, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you and whatever else you may want to tell them.
Okay. Well, yeah, my contact information, phone number first, 727-798-3092. That's 727-798-3092. Email creditman, the number 47 at yahoo.com. Creditman, the number 47 at yahoo.com. Website is badcredithistoryrepaired.com, and I don't like, I'm getting the website redone here soon, but it's nevertheless, it's there for you to access it, and you can look at some of my videos on there, past TV shows I've done and radio shows, and I'm currently on 1250 a.m. on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. and Sunday mornings 102.5 FM, The Bone. And we do live stream TV as well when I'm doing this, when I'm actually in the studio. So give me a call or contact me through email. Take a look at some of the websites. Oh, my Facebook page, go in there and like it. Even if you don't like it, like it. Bad Credit History. And then on my YouTube is the Four Secrets of Credit, Restoring Your Credit or Repairing Your Credit, I think. But that's it. Yeah, that's what I got.
And I'm going to tell you that Will was gracious enough for any of you guys out there who are still having some of these issues. We have this eliminate the child support madness foolishness. And Will, for those who come in for the next couple of weeks, you can actually, if you purchase those services, we're going to give you, or Will is going to give you, the credit repair service. So I think it would be an excellent time to take advantage of it, as well as some information relative to how these things are taxes. There's another webinar from John Mulvey who comes with that package as well, a six-hour webinar. In fact, if you just want it by itself, you can go ahead and get that from off the site at gregdoss.com. But definitely there's some that whole idea of taxing and revenue, Sharif, has me very, very much intrigued now, because we can almost guarantee that they're probably not paying taxes on that revenue. And at that point, you may not have to do any of the work at all. We can just go send in the IRS, correct, Sharif? Let them go do the work for you, and then get your compensation from that.
That's right. That's right.
I'm thinking that quite a few people have made quite a few dollars from doing that. It's not an easy, it's not an overly complicated process. I'm currently studying for it, but it's very intriguing when you step back and consider the amount of quote-unquote revenue, because the state, you can never owe what you are. It's like owing yourself. That's impossible. So if people can change their perspective, I believe that a lot of this, you know, side-of-the-road piracy, which would be no different than letters of marque and reprisal, which is definitely forbidden within the construct of the Constitution, and it's actually in Article 1 as well, in Section 10 of that Constitution, for the United States, of course. But I think that the people sometimes are just taking a back seat to that thing which you created, because this the so-called government can only function with your permission. You need to take this whole idea of what they give you a permission to do and say, nah, I actually tell you what to do, and you just need to learn how to operate properly within it. In fact, sometimes it's maybe just give back your crap, give back your stuff, and say, hey, listen, I'm just going to go and do my own thing. Take all your stuff back and just leave me alone. You'll learn to, you'll probably enjoy life a lot more. 347-838-8420, 347-838-8420. Any thoughts or comments, Sharique, before we get up out of here?
No, brother, that's it. I'm good.
Hey, I appreciate everybody as always. You know, normally we, you know, we could probably hang around a couple more hours, but we have Will coming up in a couple weeks with his webinar. So I'm going to definitely suggest to everybody take advantage of any opportunity to hear either one of these guys. Sharif gives classes when it comes to debt collection, credit repair. They're also great motivators of people, and we sometimes need these. We need people like this to help us dig inside of ourselves, and, you know, Sharif is definitely one of the persons in touch with the spirit. We have a show tomorrow, don't we, Sharif?
No, I don't have a show tomorrow. My next show is going to be on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, so check them out on Tuesday, then none tomorrow. I will probably be out and about doing some things tomorrow and the next day. Of course, I got Pop's birthday on the 10th, 10-10, and I definitely love my dad tremendously, and I can appreciate the influence that he's had in helping me attempt to stay balanced when that other guy is not anywhere around. You know, sometimes that other guy kind of takes over things, but right now he's caged, and actually he's probably in a cage sleep. That can be appreciated. But as always, in parting, sometimes it's not about right or wrong. More importantly, it's about clarity. And you never reach resolution if you're not willing to engage in honest dialogue, even if that dialogue is with yourself. Please take time to hug the person you love and love the person you hug. And let's not forget that tomorrow at 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, the greatest sports talk show on Blog Talk, actually, the sports show for men, me, and Carlos, the Picks boss, whatever his last name is, will be in tomorrow. We'll be talking about everything from, and heaven forbid, we have to talk about Derek Fisher and his situation. And that, you know, that's actually a man mindset topic. We'll talk about that tomorrow. One of the strangest, one of the strangest top 50 NFL players of all times list came out. And in viewing it, I can promise you all, if you have not seen this list, you will never guess person on the list was. I can promise you. You have no idea who they picked to be number one. I'm kind of wondering what they were smoking when they came up with that list. But whatever it is, that definitely should be banned. We'll definitely give a recap of tonight's game, the tonight's football games, whether they're in college and or pro. And we'll give a couple of picks, of course, only for entertainment purposes only. And we'll talk about Major League Baseball. The playoffs are underway, of course. Our hometown favorite, UB, our former hometown favorite, David Price, got shellacked again, which makes, I think, his sixth straight postseason loss, yeah, going back to when the Rays went to the World Series, as well as the fact that the Cubs shut down the Pirates today. Great pitching always stops great hitting. Hockey is underway. Our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning won today 3-2, beating Philadelphia. And we talk all things sports. I talk all things sports. I love it. And actually, it was my first love. And actually, somebody told me years ago that I would not be dealing with sports. I probably told them they're out of their mind. And hearing somebody else pops in, I'm sorry, Brother Jasan, I missed you before I was on my diatribe. What's up, Brother Jasan?
Peace, love, and life, family. Just enjoying a wonderful, powerful presentation again. You know, you're there with the it's almost, it's better than the Three Musketeers, because at least they've taken over some kingdoms and, you know, setting the record straight for the so-called peasants out here. So, you know, yourself, Will hitting them bam bam, and the Sharif locking them up. You know, it's all good. Just enjoying it.
Now, since you came in, you do the thing, you have the information with the numbers, and a lot of people have asked about numbers, and if you could recommend a book to help people get started, because you recommended several to me, of course, me and the family have gotten into the numbers. I haven't mastered it the way I probably should. I know Sharif is definitely one who understands numbers and their significance. But if you could recommend a book, because I've been asked several times about these things, and I wish I could give them the answer, but of course, this is your area of expertise. Could you please give that to them and then tell them how they can also contact you for healthy eating and also other things that can help them help heal themselves?
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity again to share. A book I would recommend for especially ones who want to learn the ciphers that we call numbers, numerology or astronumerology. The foremost gentleman out there, his name is Lloyd Strayhorn. The book is called Numbers and You. I think he might have just updated it with a new revision lately. But Numbers and You, you can usually find it for pretty much around $10, $10-$11 or under. But it's a phenomenal book, covers a lot of areas dealing with what he calls astronumerology or numerastrology, because numbers come first and then, you know, you get into the other field they call astrology afterwards, because if you don't start off with a number, most of us call a birth date or a date of birth, you can't really look up anything else. So everything begins and ends with the numbers. That's an excellent book that I would recommend, Numbers and You. For those who are dealing with stress, whether it be from debt collection, can't get things off your credit report, you haven't heard of Nkemba yet, or Brother Sharif, or debt collectors, while you're working with them to get things off your credit report, I can, you know, provide some answers for you through Third Eye Visions Unlimited on how to reduce stress in your life by changing your diet, your lifestyle, your thinking, improving your exercise programs, or how to use different tones, frequency to heal, how to use crystals, how to interact with the nature within and without, because those who are dealing with debt collection, credit problems, foreclosure, and all the other issues, child support that we talked about, that creates a lot of stress in life right off the bat. So you definitely want to have someone in your corner or on your short list that can help you with the health, the spiritual, and the physical ways of dealing with those things. So that's why we provide a Third Eye Visions Unlimited. The website is 3RDEYE, Visions with an S, unlimited.com, or 3RDEVU.com. And we help you to experience the unlimited you through mental cleansing, spiritual cleansing, and physical cleansing, which a lot of us definitely need on an ongoing basis interacting in this world that we are subjected to or interacting with every day. So that's what I would share with the folks. And thank you once again, Brother Greg, for having the platform, for doing what you do. Thank you, Brother Sharif, Will, and others. Each one of us are needed more so than ever in this time for the upliftment of fallen humanity, starting with ourselves.
And no doubt, no doubt. And by the way, for those of you who are my clients on the information for educational purposes only, you just hit your unit, as SMU did help cover the over of 70 with a late touchdown. We always love those things that happen through the back door. It's always important. Sometimes it's not about right or wrong. More important, it's about clarity. You never reach resolution if you're not willing to engage in honest dialogue with yourself. Take time to hug the person you love. Love the person you hug. On behalf of everybody at The Man Mindset, themanmindset.com, gregdoss.com, and, of course, DJ Squid Radio and Thor Network, as well as Ikemba's Credit Repair. Don't forget to go and like his page. We're saying peace and chicken grease. We're out of here.
The Force can have a strong influence on the weak mind.
Denial is the most predictable of all human responses.
Scales the mountain because he's not afraid of it.
We are getting aggravated.
Yes, we are.
Hunted armed men long enough.
like it. Never really care for anything else thereafter.
It's pretty poetic. Did you come up with that all by yourself?
No, actually. That was Hemingway.
Neophyte, I'm simply trying to ascertain if this cowboy here is taking advantage of you.
Strange. The code is somehow different.
Encrypted?
Maybe.